Welcome to Life's a Witch. On today's episode, we continue our trickle down the major arcana in the tarot with card number 4, the Emperor. The Emperor represents authority, establishment, structure, a father figure, and masculine. Today, we will explore the divine masculine.
Is LC email Ilsa?
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So
let's turn up this volume on.
Hold on. I'm gonna try and turn up your volume on my end so I can hear. No, it's all the way up. So we will try to.
I can get closer to my microphone too. I just didn't want to. I didn't want to blow your ears out because it's a very sensitive mic. So.
Oh no, you're good. That sounds great.
Okay. No worries, and we'll get very close to our iPad so we can can listen.
We'll kiss our microphone.
Yes, okay. And now everyone will hear our technical difficulties. So today we have Zachariah the Witch, who I know personally, and he's super awesome. And we have done. Instagram lives together, and I just think that when we were thinking about this episode of Divine Masculine, mm-hmm. I was like, I thought it was so appropriate to include you, because one, we've kind of tapped in on the Divine Masculine on our live when we did our live that one time, mm-hmm. and I just think that, you know, it's good to have a different perspective and break the glass in terms of what people would assume Divine Masculine is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime. And do you want to, just real quick, do you want to give us a little bit, just, you know, share with everyone a little bit about yourself and what you do and your practice?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Hello, my name is Zachariah the Witch. My pronouns are he, him, his. I've been a practicing witch and researcher of the occult for over 15 years now, which is crazy to think about.
Wow, yeah.
What else about me? I'm the host of a podcast as well called Around the Cauldron, and it's a cross table conversation type show, but I also do storytelling and talk about metaphysics and the supernatural. And I am also a part of the affiliate chapter of the National Cauldron, which is connected to the Black Hat Society groups that are distributed throughout the United States and the world. I run the Los Angeles Black Hat Society. Beyond that, I'm a performer, a writer, produced content and immersive productions. And I'm constantly being asked to appear on podcasts and talk on Clubhouse and
yay,
just spreading, awesome. Spreading the magic where I can.
Yeah.
A true Renaissance man.
Absolutely trying.
And where can people find you, by the way? What are your social handles?
So everything is at Zachariah the Witch, www.Zachariah the Witch. Instagram is the same. I believe TikTok is even the same. I don't use Twitter.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. Yay.
That is awesome, Zachariah. So I guess we'll just jump into it. And just to catch you up, mm-hmm. we are going through the major arcana of the tarot.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially we're picking, for every major, we're associating it with the qualities of the card and then having discussions around that. So
okay.
Our previous episode was the Empress, and we talked about the divine feminine. Mm-hmm. So this episode, we're talking about the divine masculine. And I think it's very, for some reason, when I was thinking about this specific episode, like when I was like trying to put together notes or think about it, I was like, oh, I think this one's going to be a little, not challenging, but I think it's going to be a little different because there is a lot of, I'd love to break the mold on what people think the divine masculine is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, obviously, I want to talk about, like, you know, I don't know, like gender roles and in a perfect world. And I said this last episode, I'm very like, I think as I grow in my craft or whatever, I would love to eradicate the idea of divine masculine and feminine, because I think it just puts a clear, I would say kind of like,
gender identity.
Yeah, gender identity on spirituality, which, you know, so I just kind of wanted to, I think right off the bat, when you and I spoke, we had talked about on our live about how there are so many deities that are I would say not gender, not identified by gender.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to talk about, you know, when you practice your craft or when you tap into that, do you think, I mean, does gender play a role in your craft? Because when I look at you, I mean, you're very, you seem very fluid, and I love that so much. And that's why kind of one of the reasons why I want to bring you on and how you use that.
Okay. Yeah, I think that obviously gender is a construct for sure. The binary coding that has been implemented leeches into a lot of different areas of things, even outside of witchcraft. You know, it's think of these stupid gender reveal parties and all, like, why do people need to know what's in between my legs? I don't get it.
Right.
But beyond that, when it comes to deity or my own representation in theology for myself and my practice, I look at certain gods or goddesses and their attributes. You can see a lot with like Hermes or Mercury, the messenger, you know, it just much like Apollo, very beautiful in their appearance. And there's a lot of trickle down that happens with those deities, even from Greek and Roman era, where you see it transform and transmute into Christian pantheons of, you know, these like genderless, powerful beings that are of God and come from source. So to me, I feel like deity and gods and goddesses don't necessarily need to be defined by gender, but what gender represents of masculine or feminine is more so based on the idea of balance and imbalance, conscious and subconscious, and what those gods and goddesses tap into. So when I think of even Hecate, you know, a lot of people are really, really, really drawn to that triplicate of past, present, future, mother, maiden, crone. But there's also that within the male side of things. There's youth, warrior, and sage, you know. So you have to kind of remember that it's all really about balance. It's not so much like patriarchal versus matriarchal. Yes, there are pros and cons to both sides. But I think if we get rid of the idea of it needing a focus on genitalia and, you know,
For real.
I really think it just boils down to, you know, what really resonates with you, what correlates with what you're trying to achieve, what you're trying to grow into. Because I think as witches, I know for myself, when I think of deities, they have traits and qualities that I really want to, I don't want to be a god necessarily, but it's like, I want to aspire to a lot of their talents and abilities. And when I do ritual or practice, moving with them or working with them, I even envision myself becoming them or another facet of them. And I carry that attitude with me when I'm doing my spell work. Like if I really want to get a message across or convey like androgyny or beauty, I think of all the gods associated with everything that's in between. You know, there's what's another example? I automatically always go to Greek, but Dionysus, you know, beautiful. Apollo, beautiful. And the word beautiful is not always applied to males or that gender, but to me it goes both ways. Beauty is in everything because beauty is creation, you know.
Absolutely. And I think that there's a lot of, and I know, like, I also go to Greek too, because I think of like the in-between, but like in Rome, you have Janus. So that's where you get January, and he looks both ways. He has two heads. You also have wonderful characters like Hermaphrodite, you know? So there are these androgynous or like in-between dual deities. And I think the reason why I thought this episode would be a little like, I think it's just that when you look at it or when you look at theology and I remember like just being in an anthropology class specifically for witchcraft, occult, and religion, they talk about how more and more it really is the Abrahamic and Judeo-Christian religions that get into that male-centric push. And that's where the omnipotent God is male. And it's so interesting because if you look at, you know, even Celtic, I mean, a lot of their deities, it is the females that are the war deities. You have the Morrigan. Mm-hmm. You know, there are so many in Norse, you have the Valkyries. So there are just so many spirits that are associated with war, or just take you out of the gender construct. And you're right. You know, like, I don't think genitalia should play any role mm-hmm. In someone's faith or spiritual practice. Yeah. And one of the things that I was talking about on our last week in our Empress episode was how I was so disheartened, because I don't know if you remember reading this, but about a year ago, the woman who started Dianic Wicca, she came out and said that she didn't feel that trans women had a role in Dianic Wicca. And I get so flustered about stuff like that.
I can understand being flustered. It's very frustrating. I remember, mm-hmm. You know, being in my early teens and then in my early 20s, moving to Arizona and getting on meetup.com and trying to find other people who were practicing or did group rituals or outings or social things. And in between those times of my life, I was looked at like I had three heads because I was a male witch, and I was and that was very off-putting. And then everyone's like, well, if you're a male and you practice paganism or witchcraft, then maybe, you know, you should be more applied to like Odin and Norse Asatru and stuff like that. And I was like, but that's not who I am,
right?
You yeah know? And it got really like gatekeepy in a way of having other people try to tell me, for one, how to identify as whatever type of witch I wanted to identify as. And then number two, how to be accepted and practice my own craft. And that was really off-putting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Dianic part, definitely. It just goes back to the idea of like, sometimes the people that we look up to that kind of start this process for us aren't the best people to follow for our whole life. Take certain things that they teach with a grain of salt, and then move on to the next teacher, you know?
Precisely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that goes back to, you know, it's so funny because you're kind of like bring back memories for me, because I also remember, you know, like being young and like wanting to really take on the mantle of like, you know what, I'm ready. I've done this. I identify mm-hmm. with being a witch. And then people telling me, you mean sorcerer. And I was like, no, I mean witch. You mean magician.
No,
I'm like,
Stephen no,
I'm a witch. You know, or like warlock.
Or warlock, yep.
Yeah. So, and I will say, like, I've never, not so much later in life, but I do remember one time, like, walking into a store, and I was with my dad, and my dad was very open, and he was very, you know, he was like, buying me like things and stuff. And I remember talking to it was a woman behind the counter. She didn't even own the shop. And my dad was like, oh yeah, I have a little witch here. And the woman proceeded to tell my dad and I, school us about how I should call myself a warlock or a sorcerer mm-hmm. because I'm taking the word away from the thousands of women who are oppressed, who are now reclaiming that word and making it a word about feminism.
But also, like, I don't like, I personally get really bothered by the idea that men can't be witches, because like it's not a woman centric word, and mm-hmm. it literally also never has been,
right?
Like it's only recent that the word has been more identified with femininity, and that's because of texts like the Crucible, which is a modern text, mm-hmm. you know. And not to say that it isn't a worthwhile piece, but it's like it's with ignorance that it has been labeled a word of femininity. And it's like there's no reclamation to do, Susan. Your mom probably hopped off the Mayflower and killed a couple people. Yeah. Like, what do you want? It's one of those things where it's like those shirts that people wear that are like, we're the descendants of the witches you didn't burn. And it's like, oh, no, God. You're not. Like,
and there were no witches burned in America.
Yeah, exactly.
Untrue.
That gets very frustrating too, because I always have felt like I'm a witch that utilizes speechcraft and words the most. I don't believe in having to always use candles or incense or salts or oils. I love them for aesthetic purposes and to be more theatrical and build more power. But ideally, words, the origin of words, the etymology of words, the meaning of words, you really got to think about where even which came from. You know, it's like, what is it? Wisecraft or craft of wise people,
That's what I
knowledge.
was always.
So there's no terminology in there that says it's feminine or masculine. It just says it's something that comes from wisdom and hidden things, you know? So just it's really, and I think we know this too. Warlock is what, a deceiver, correct?
Yeah, deceiver.
So
Yeah.
I'm
What an
like,
unfair thing to try to force someone to call themselves.
well, if you got a penis, you're a
Dang.
deceiver.
If you're
Yeah.
using that wiener for deceit.
It's so stupid.
It is.
But
Yeah.
there's a lot of you know, even pagan. I remember it was around the time I learned about that website Witchvox, and I think they just
Oh,
recently,
it was such a good
so
website.
yeah, so great, full of
Yeah.
resources and people and all kinds of stuff. But I remember pagan, and then the onset of New Ageism, neo-pagan. And then some other subset of that was like not even neo-pagan, it was like something else pagan. And I was like, y'all need to make up your mind because this is just like we're all heathens, technically.
No,
These
absolutely.
words all mean the same thing.
Yeah. And you know what's funny going off of what you just said about heathen Zachary is that, like, I remember my first, it was like I had done the whole Wicca bit for a second, but my first traditional witchcraft, they all referred to themselves as heathens and heathenry. But then I remember moving to LA and, like, I don't know if it changed, but then all of a sudden it was like, oh no, if you're a heathen, you specifically practice a Norse practice. And I was like, that's so weird because that's not what I practice. And then, like, now people are trying to just, like, put all these labels on these words.
I think that's because people can't, they are so narrow-minded and they're too lazy
In my
to
up
look
right,
beyond
in my
meaning.
upbringing, heathen was just anyone that wasn't a Catholic.
Precisely.
And then
If you're an atheist, you're a
heathen
heathen.
back in the day was somebody who lived out in the country that practiced folklore and you know, their people's magic. So if
Yeah,
it's
that's not
part
my
of really
understanding of the
heathen
term.
stems from not accepting the status quo of the current culture. It basically means that you are an outlier, an outsider, and you have odd beliefs that the majority of people during that time don't practice. That's where it really comes from. So I like heathen because being queer and being a witch, I feel like one. I feel like an
Me
outsider.
too.
It just
That's
fits.
great. Yeah, my family, heathens were people that didn't use silverware and that generally didn't bathe and would run around like wild men
Oh,
and women.
God.
That was the term heathen in my family.
Also
So
what I'm going for.
I mean, I could take that now. So
Yeah, and then you know another one, and it's so funny because obviously, like we've speared, we got off the subject of divine masculine, but just in etymology and stuff. Because like, to me, crossing the hedge or a hedge witch was a witch who practiced like spirit work or astral travel or worked in the liminal space. And then now, hedge witch is like also like a green witch,
A dirty
yes,
garden
a
woman that
plant,
eats leaves.
right?
Yeah.
But a hedge witch too. I mean, that terminology too. It's basically you're at the threshold of living and death. You are the person between worlds. So, I mean that too. Like some people who've adopted that, I'm like, well, are you a psychopomp? Do you communicate with spirits? Do you take tinctures and herbs and psychedelics to go to other realms? And they're like, no. And I was like, then why are you calling yourself a hedge witch? I don't understand that.
Because I read it on this super cute Llewellyn book.
The sacred masculine, though, to kind of bring it back, if you want, I obviously am not, I don't practice Hinduism, but there's a lot of similarities in a lot of the major world religions, but Hinduism especially, gender and their deities or gods, they're very respectful of the fact that there is absolute genderless gods. And then there are gods that are, you know, both. And then there are gods that are male and female. So they appreciate all of the aspects of gender. And that's something that I really appreciate about those practices and beliefs. But then there's like the, what was it called? Not bhakti, Shakti. Shakti means that God is female, whereas bhakti is, there's both male and female. And then outside of that, there's the minor gods. And please, anyone that's Hindu that's listening, please don't stab me if I get this wrong. I think they're called Devi or Devas. They're like, they could be any form or gender that they choose to be, whether it's an animal or a person. It's very interesting.
Oh, that's pretty cool. It's sort of shape-shifting.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, that's cool.
Because that's
Yeah.
the belief that, God, the divinity is within you anyway, so it's whatever
Right.
you wish or think it to be.
We are part of the grand play. Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, didn't you, Brianne, you were the one who discovered, like, you were talking about Erzuli.
Oh, yeah, I was reading, and Erzuli is great because it's basically gender fluid. Like there is no male or female. Typically, she's described as female, but in actuality, it's gender fluid. So it represents both male and female. So it was a really great discovery I made, and I think it helps a lot of people who don't identify as either male or female, and they found that comfort. I was
Right.
dressing a candle and had used that when I was drawing the candle, and the person that I was drawing with or drawing for was just blown away when I said that that Erzuli was gender fluid, and they felt more connected, more recognized, and just they really appreciated that, and I feel like it should be that way. People shouldn't feel like they're marginalized or they can't step into a certain space because of, yes, their genitals or how they identify. So, and I think that's a good way that we can break down those divine feminine and divine masculine, and it's the abilities, the characteristics, the archetype that you said before about these two different cards.
And I think too, it's like if you look back, like I think in witchcraft, at least in like in the practice of witchcraft or paganism or whatever, just going back to heathenry and stuff like that, it's like we are on the fringe. I mean, if you call yourself a witch, if you call yourself a heathen, if you take on the mantle of this work, you are going to marginalize yourself and put yourself on the fringe. So why would you go out of your way to continue building those different,
Where are you going to restrict?
why are you going to restrict other people in their practice? It does not make sense.
I think sometimes there's this idea, and this is just something that I've noticed and experienced. I think sometimes when we are marginalized, and I've noticed this a lot being part of like the LGBT community, there's an occasional, especially in lesbian circles, which are occasionally, unfortunately, very toxic, as any circle can be. There's that want to exclude out of the pain of being excluded, So there's like this, especially when it comes down to like excluding non-binary people and trans people. When I've seen it in like lesbian groups, especially talking about magic. There's been this want to exclude, but there's rarely more of a reason behind it than genitalia, which I think nullifies it, like the reasoning. But it's just it always seems to me like there's this want to exclude simply because you've been excluded from something, simply because you are part of this fringe, that you want the power to exclude someone else, and like getting it. It's suddenly like a power they run around wielding like a little knife, like just hurting other people with it because they've been hurt. And it's so unfair because it's like we have to build these spaces and build our own spiritual homes, and to weaponize your spiritual home against someone else who's also looking for theirs. It's so bizarre to me. It's such a hurtful experience that I think pushed me away for a little bit too.
Absolutely.
That's something that that really sticks out. I think even Dylan and I have discussed it, where it's like the gatekeepiness, but then beyond that, it's the what are people so threatened by? And the thing that I process about that, it's like you said, it's like they have this little knife that they carry around and they can use it because now they have the power. Mm-hmm. That's a sign of imbalance, which goes back to what we originally talked about. Masculine and feminine is more so about balance and imbalance. And when you when you have people who are raised up in an environment that's not safe, it's toxic, it's harmful, and then they find their place and they find their confidence, sometimes that turns into aggression and misunderstanding and miscommunication and a lot more imbalance because they aren't given the tools that they need in order to become a whole and balanced person. So they're always threatened by people who are confident, who are knowledgeable, who are, who love themselves.
Or who reflect them.
And exactly. We all are in many ways a facet of a mirror that we point at each other. Mm-hmm. So my point is, Dylan and I have talked about this before, where it's like, if something somebody says or does doesn't align with where I'm at, I don't need to go out of my way to talk shit about them. I don't need to go out of my way to demean them and discourage them. If they do something threatening or harmful directed at me, I, yes, will put them in their place. But most of the time, I just won't give them my energy. I won't talk to them. I won't engage with them. And they will show everybody who they truly are. That's just what happens. There's no need for me to dictate or decide like what somebody else is doing. However, it gets a little scary going back to what you brought up when people run groups or organizations or covens and they have practices, especially men. And I'm just going to call it out. A lot of men, because of, I don't know, after Satanic Panic, like maybe it's something to do with it, but a lot of men just got really nasty and took advantage of people in certain circles and made everything about sex and made everything about gender. And, you know, so it goes both ways. And it's very frustrating.
I absolutely. And I was actually going to bring that up, and it was a good segue for me. One of the reasons why I don't like, we talked about last week, divine feminine. I just have problems with that phrase, and then divine masculine, my brain goes to cult leader, you know, it goes to these, you know, people, these men. And I mean, a good example that I can think of is that Bhagwan from Wild Wild Country, that movie, you know, these men are using, like, I think of divine masculine, these yogis that are taking advantage of all of these women and building like this crazy cult following by embodying like women could never attain the qualities of a divine masculine.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, Zachary, we have definitely talked about this at length. And I think we even talked about it when we went live. But I also will say, like, for me, that's one of the reasons, like, I mean, I kind of pulled away, because I do think a lot of these groups, like, when I look back at, because, you know, in the beginning, when I was a kid, I was like, well, Wicca is safe. Everyone told me, like, Wicca is the stepping stone. Wicca.
Yeah.
It's Wicca. Wicca is where you go. Wicca. And after a while, I was like, when you read about, you know, Gerald Gardner, and you read about the original, not this woo-woo tree-hugging Wicca that we have in 2021, but if you read about, like, the Wicca of the late 50s, 60s, it's pretty misogynistic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The pictures on how to bind women.
The
knots.
And the five-fold kiss.
Hands behind their back.
Like, in our first episode, we talked about how we got into this. And, like, as a kid online, as a teenager, looking for my group, you know, looking for people that were like me. There were men that would reach out and like ask me to do like sexual things, send them photos. And again, I was a minor, you know, and that were claiming to be part of these like groups. And it goes back to that like cult idea. And as I'm considering this now, I just want to say it so I don't forget. Mm-hmm. But the cultish adherence to gender ideology is also something that I think kind of sticks out in these sort of groups that desperate need to define what someone else's gender is, what their practice should be because of their gender. And I forgot the rest of the words I was going to use to, they sort of swam right out of my brain now. But yeah, there is like a cult like aspect to necessitating it in that way that that gets sticky on people, that I think is it's hard for people to escape when they looking at it. And I was hoping it would come back to me, and it didn't.
Well, and I'll also say there's a way of imposing, you know, like I've known a lot of, and I'm going to say it too, I've known a lot of male practitioners and male leaders who will impose things, and they'll say it, well, this has to be done this way because it was done in history. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you for myself, like, I love Dionysus. I have my own mini celebration of Lupercalia. Mm-hmm. You know, I practice sex magic or whatever. But if I'm in a coven, or if I have people that I work with, if I have practitioners, I'm not going to go to like Brienne and Ivy and be like, titties out, because mm-hmm. this is what they did thousands of years right. ago. You need to embrace your sexuality. And the caveat that I hear a lot of is, or you're not a witch.
It's like the Nixium cult.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was listening to some of his, Keith, whatever his name is.
Keith
Raniere's interviews, and how he would scold women, telling them that they weren't being female positive, or they were being anti-feminist in their language, when they would say something that they were feeling to him, and how they would sit there and be like, oh yeah, like, you're right. Like, after a man has just scolded them.
It's so ignorant for a man to tell a woman how to be a woman, you know? It's like, right. a man doesn't know that experience. Sorry. But mm-hmm. I mean, even outside of that, I think when we talk about masculinity or what it means of that balance or imbalance, I guess to me, it has a lot of different attributes. One of those is honor and integrity. They're mm-hmm, kind of interchangeable. Mm-hmm. That's a masculine trait. The other one is limitation of the physical and the spiritual and the mental. Mm-hmm. Because this is all stems from numerology. So this is kind of how I break it down. Okay. The other part of it is going to be spiritual awareness or being present. That's a big part of it. And then I guess the last part is just... karmic kind of actions or fixing or breaking cycles, kind of having that peaceful warrior mindset. Does that make sense? So when I think of divine masculine, I think of those traits. Like, those are, they're assertive but gentle. They are mm-hmm. present but also impartial to certain things. And those are attributes that a lot of the gods, I think of when we put gender on it, that's how most of those gods are. They're not like all benevolent and like gushy. It's more just like, it's a sense of honor. It's a sense of duty. It's a sense of integrity. Right. And that's kind of where the words really come into play for me. It's like, what's the general vibe of this divine masculinity? Because imbalanced masculinity is selfishness, power, control, greed, obstruction of justice, no peace, just war and hostility, mm-hmm. you know. And we see that in gods like Aries. You know, he can go from being, okay, this is fair and I'm going to do this, to I'm going to fuck you up because I just don't like your face, you know.
Right.
So
but I will say, going back, and we've talked about this too, Zachariah, I think with a lot of the Greek and the Roman deities, I also love that, especially the masculine, they are flawed. Mm-hmm. You know, you see, and you know that this is based on, like, obviously people were like, oh, I know someone like that, like Zeus. Right?
Yeah.
He can't keep it in his pants.
Yep.
Apollo can't hold a relationship to save his life.
Absolutely.
You know, and there's something about those deities where you can relate to that. And I don't even think you have to be a male per se, you know? I mean, like,
absolutely.
Apollo is overly emotional, you know, mm-hmm. he loves on first instinct so much so that, you know, he'll chase a nymph and she'd rather turn into a tree mm-hmm. than be with a god.
Right.
And like, I mean, we've all felt spurned or rejected in love and, mm-hmm. and things like that. So, I mean, in those masculine aspects, I can relate. And then, you know, when you look at the Celtic, one of the things that I think is powerful about the Celtic is that it's the male who dies and goes underground. You know, in Greek mm-hmm. and Roman, it's Persephone, you know, and she goes into the underworld and then she comes back for spring. In Celtic, it is the male, mm-hmm. and it is the horned god who goes underneath, and he kind of goes into his hibernation mode and then comes back. So you do have a lot of a lot of the weaknesses of males, I think, are heavily portrayed and kind of put on the clothesline for the world to see in a lot of mythology. Mm-hmm. But then I think when we get to Christianity and you know, Judeo-Christian and Abrahamic religions, it's kind of like the male can do no wrong.
Right.
And it is the female who has sinned.
And then that's interesting too, because even in the Abrahamic texts, like this is like the Book of Jubilees, the Bible, the people, the Book of Enoch. When you go from the Godhead, God isn't even actually present in most of these religions. Yahweh is the supreme being and God. His voice, though, is the Tetragrammaton, you know, Metatron. And Metatron speaks for God. So it's the one most appointed next to divinity. And then beyond that, it's these other beings, which are angels or archangels. They are genderless and formless in many fashions, or they're actually fucking terrifying if you really read.
Yeah, this. They have many women.
Like, what the fuck?
Don't look at them.
And so that's another part too, is I feel like a lot of the masculine things from Abrahamic religions push fear and control, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, of like, I'm all powerful, all seeing, all knowing. You cannot deceive me or I will smite you, you know? And that's always been attributed to that, like, I have a dick, do what I say. It's like, that's so stupid, you know?
Yeah.
That's not balanced. That's such an imbalanced belief system.
Yes. I think Brianne's eyes are widening at the multi-eyeballed angel.
There's a lot of eye widening at a lot of things you just said. Mm-hmm. If you don't know, I know a big zero zilch about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who Abraham is or Abrahamic. I don't know what you're talking about, mm-hmm. or these angels or archangels.
Which I kind of love in a sense. Like, I wish I was her.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Abrahamic refers to the children of Israel, and out of that came Judaism, Christianity, and some other sects of that. So that's basically what it refers to. But
yeah.
So it's like, yeah, like biblical breakdown, pretty much.
We're the descendants.
The great flood, the great flood, Moses, all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's funny too, because when I think of masculinity and magic, even if you talk about the goddamn Bible, pun intended.
Right.
Yeah.
Moses was a fucking wizard.
Magician.
Like, come on. He had a big wand. He turned things into fire and snakes. I'm like, come on.
And he parted the Red Sea.
Seriously.
Absolutely. He was such a magician, sorcerer, witch, whatever you want to call it. And oh my God, there's so
the...
many. Look at Joseph.
Yeah.
He mm-hmm. prophesied, he did dream interpretation.
Yep. And so did, oh my God. Like, my name comes from Zechariah the prophet. He was God.
Oh, that's right.
God took his voice away because he didn't believe at the time that his wife Sarah could get pregnant. And then when she became pregnant, an angel came down and renamed him. I forget what his original name was, but they named him Zechariah, and it means God has remembered. So there's a lot of weird, it's like when Christians talk about how Harry Potter is the devil, I think about some of their, what I refer to as folklore from the Bible. And I'm like, do you not read your own text and understand how fucking fantasy supernatural that sounds?
I want to assure you the answer for that is they absolutely don't.
Of course. They're like, well, it's of God, so that means it's pure and stuff.
That's right.
I can't even explain how many people I met being Baptist, being Catholic, that hadn't actually read the Bible.
Oh yeah,
it's
and that horrified me.
My mom just said that I think it was either New York Times, I forget what she was reading, where they were saying, I think it's and it's a scary number, I believe it's like 75% of Christians and Catholics who claim to be Christian and Catholic, it's oral. All they know is from what they've been told, and chances are they have not picked up the damn book.
Okay, and here's another male-associated issue that I have with the church and Christianity. I don't care what people think. The pastor or the leader of most Christian churches is called the shepherd. And so what does that make his community? The flock.
Oh, the flock.
His sheep.
Ooh, baby, we're sheep.
Right? Oh, I'm like, what? That's another patriarchal bullshit statement to me.
Yes.
Well, we are the flock, but we're sheep. individually.
Oh, I thought I got one right.
You did get it. Oh, okay. It's a flock. You're totally right.
But
it's the flock and we're the sheep.
Dylan, it goes back to what you said. Quite honestly, it goes back to what you said. You're right. Anything that is male-based, that imbalanced version of masculine divinity or power, it is so corrupt and perverse and disruptive and just, it's so backwards. It comes from all of the wrong places of, I need to control you. I need to convert you. I need to save you. And it's only done through me.
Mm-hmm. Precisely.
And that's the negative sides of
the
divine masculine in my opinion. And I feel like we're all kind of agreeing on that.
I remember when I started meeting men that after not being Catholic or Baptist mm-hmm. anymore, that it didn't feel like they wanted to control me. Mm-hmm. And I got very mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying to control me.
I would get livid because I wouldn't understand. It wouldn't compute with me. I was like, but these are our places. Mm-hmm. This is like the how the world's supposed to work. Like it blew my little brain. That's simply how some people were not, and that there were men that weren't interested in having this extreme say-so and like control over other people and like wouldn't direct and didn't necessarily want to take lead. It blew my mind and it upset me deeply until I eventually came to the conclusion like, oh no, those are the people you probably should be around instead mm-hmm. of the people that do want control over you.
Yeah. I mean, there's a wonderful movie in that, and I always push this movie, and it's amazing. It's called Agora, and it's with Rachel Weisz, but it takes place in Alexandria at the time where Christianity has come to the forefront. Rachel Weisz. Mm-hmm. And it's a true story, and she's a mathematician, but what essentially happens is that the prefect of Rome in Egypt relies on her for a bunch of just making decisions and things like that. And the church becomes more and more powerful. And they essentially present this thing of like, in the Bible, it says women cannot make these decisions. Women cannot have these thoughts. And even when the prefect of Rome was like, well, I'm going to overturn that. Then they kind of pin it on, the idea of like, okay, well, she says she's a mathematician. What does she believe in? And, you can be a pagan, you can be a Christian, you can be a Jew, you can practice Judaism, you can't be atheist, and that's kind of what the takeaway. But just the idea of like the role of, you really see the roles of women stripped away later in antiquity as we get to this, I don't know, mm-hmm. it just turns into this male-centric.
Not to call out my history teacher, who I won't name, but I will call out as I say not to call him out. I have this history teacher in this moment that I'm just trying to pass a class for. And this man went on a whole rant that baffled me beyond belief, where he was pissed off that people are learning new things about women's roles in history because he's decided to not think that they're true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
no.
Can we take his credentialing away?
I'm so glad it's an online class because my brother has watched me wander around the living room like flipping out completely as a recorded lecture plays.
No, I made a post on Facebook like not too long ago about like facts about Cleopatra and how Cleopatra actually like she spoke 9 languages mm-hmm. and she was very smart and she knew battle tactics and all that. And this some dude that I worked at Disney with in Florida
right.
was like, no, it was because she was pretty. And I was like,
no,
but what
literally
does, like, literally no. And also try to find a coin of Cleopatra because she's not that beauty that
people
becoming, right. But at the same time, it's like, he was so shocked at the idea that a woman would know these things or have this knowledge. And I'm like, where are people? Like, it's so weird to think that we're 2021 and we're still in the backwoods.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. We're really, this last administration too, without getting political,
Ooh-wee.
so much truth was put into the spotlight during all of the last 4 years about...
Yeah.
misogyny and acceptance mm-hmm. and we still have a long way to go, and that's the thing that's crazy about this topic is the idea that, you know, these stories were created by other people centuries ago to understand the actions of others around them, to find ways to explain the unexplainable. And these gods have, just like Dylan said, all the same makeup as us in many ways and all the same fucked up ideologies and thoughts and actions and behaviors. So it's like men really need to get with the program and come to a place of balance. Like when I think of the gods of like Cherokee beliefs, there are seven different tribes, but they all have very similar stories of the first god was the Great Spirit and the sun. She is so feminine and masculine and the balance of both, and that men were there to help women. They weren't there to tell women what to do. The women told everybody what to do because they were sacred. And I feel like, for one, I feel like in many ways, yes, I'm totally a feminist in that regard, that I think if we switch the focus back to the matriarchal lens, and if we look at how much healthier relationships were during different times here, especially here in the Americas before the white colonizers came over here. I mean, yeah, there was war and people fought with each other, but at the same time, it's like there seemed to just be more balance and understanding and respect even for nature. And that's not like my Hollywood whitewashing of native culture. It's like reading some of the stories from elders and printed texts that I have talking about the reverence and only taking what you need, not taking what you want. And I think that's another imbalanced aspect of divine masculine, is I take, and it doesn't matter who it affects because I can, because I'm stronger than you. And it's like, that's, again, it's very frustrating, and why, you know, this topic is a hot topic, because divine masculine, people are like, oh, fuck that, I don't even want to talk about it. But it's, when it's balanced, it's great to talk about it, and it's healthy.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's totally true. Well, and then also within, you know, Native American, that's where you get, you know, like the twin spirit, which I totally love, you know, that idea. And I just think that it's you know, even divine masculine, like, I think, like, I read a book, I remember, like, early on in my teens, like, Gay Witchcraft by Christopher Penzack.
Oh, I have one of his books. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. You know? And it's quite good, but I also, like, there was something about it that, even regardless of being gay, it's, you can't have one without the other. You can't, at least in witchcraft and paganism, I think it's almost impossible to take on divine, quote-unquote, masculine without acknowledging the feminine.
You literally can't.
You literally can't.
If you're creating a dichotomy, you do have to acknowledge that the dichotomy you're creating has the other half, and it exists.
And we would not be here were it not for women, correct? I mean, precisely. I wasn't grown in a pod somewhere, so.
No. Wait, Zachariah, you
I weren't? Was beamed down from Uranus, yeah. You know?
We're on our way to that brave new world of tube babies. God.
You know? But I did want to ask, and I meant to tell you earlier, so I don't want to put you on the spot, but, and we can do it here too, if not, but do you have any tarot cards or oracle cards, or would you want to do like a closing, maybe reading or even numerology, we want to give everyone a chance, or all our guests a chance, to kind of share their gifts.
Oh yeah. Where did I put my cards? Can you give me 1 second? I have to go grab them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, hold on.
We'll shoot some shit here.
Yeah. You know, shooting that divine masculine shit.
Yeah. But
do you have any shit to shoot, Brianne?
Any shit to shoot?
No, but I'm a marksman.
Wait, does that... What? Oh, you shoot?
She's an archer.
Wait, real? Oh, that's so awesome. I want to go to... I'm going to do archery.
Archery's so fun. I haven't done
that
it in
from
years.
My ass, but...
Okay.
So literally, I guess.
So you're
shit.
Also really good.
Yeah.
I think that's solid. Yeah. I'm trying to get my brother to take me shooting next week.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I hear that it could be a huge stress reliever.
Shooting a gun?
Just go to a shooting range.
Yes, yeah. I'm a horrible shot, but it is quite
I love a gun.
So I'll never stand next to you. We won't go together.
No.
You don't want to get Dick Cheney'd?
No, you don't
want
to stand next to me. But I do know all of the safety precautions, and it's important to know how to fire a gun and know what you're doing.
That's good.
Yeah. But what are some, when you get the Emperor card, Dylan, what are some of the kind of keywords or qualities that...
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. Before you go into your reading, Zachary, like, oh yeah, let's talk about that. Like, what does, for me, the Emperor, like, you know what's funny is that at least when I read the Emperor, I don't think that I ever go into the gender. Like, to me, the Emperor is the architect, like, controlling the kingdom, controlling your domain, the need to kind of organize and build things in perspective. Also someone who kind of like takes initiative. So mm-hmm. where the Empress is kind of nurturing others, I kind of see the Emperor as someone who kind of just kind of like rushes, or they're the one who stabilizes that or sets mm-hmm. things in motion.
Right.
How do you see the Emperor, Sekhar?
I mean, even the numerology of, it's the fourth card, right? So that is a masculine number, and it has to do with physical limitations, structure, integrity, honor, and loyalty. And the thing about the Emperor to me, when I think of the tarot, you know, it has a lot to do with establishment, but it's also, it does remind me a lot of the gender of patriarchy, but it's not, it's a balanced one, because he is a benevolent type of ruler. He's a fair and just mm-hmm. ruler. And he also understands the difference between being dominant versus just mm-hmm. being balanced. You know, he's not trying to overdo things. And he's basically like, you show up in front of me at my throne and I'll delegate to you what I think is fair. And that's it, you know? So, but beyond that, I really think the Emperor is just, you know, like that father figure, a positive male role model, a balanced male, really. Because when I think of like the Hierophant, or the Hierophant, however the fuck you say it.
I haven't been able to figure it out.
I think of like a crotchety old white Republican. That's what I think of.
Yeah. Oh my God, I do. I do.
Or Frollo.
Yeah, because the emperor to me is somebody who Frollo. Is somebody who's going to know when their time is up and when it's time to step down, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. That's kind of what I feel when I think of the Emperor as a person. But when I think of like its meaning and its like definition for people in a reading, you know, it's just those keywords, you know, it's like what mm-hmm. aspects of authority or rules are you, you know, approaching, or is there something that you need to kind of look at or find more structure within, or is it like, again, that number four is also an earth-based number. So it's like, is there more balance, and do you need to plan better? Do you need to lay out the groundwork for something? And again, it's just those positive and balanced traits of divine masculine. That's kind of how I view it.
So mm-hmm. true. So true. And, this will automatically shut off in an hour. So let's get that reading.
Okay, cool.
So I guess this will be a reading. Let's do like a, why don't you do a projection for like the week?
Projection for the week. Okay. Gotcha. So we came out of 2020, which, those numbers numerologically symbolized, a lot of changes within our connections with other people and the structures that we've implemented in our life. Those zeros are all about chaos and rebirth, whereas the twos are companionship, compatibility, and teamworking. Going into 2021, we're entering a 5-year. It's fated as the connectivity of all things, personal liberation, understanding. It's very Aquarian type of energy, like new technology, new communication, new ventures in life, even new policies in politics. Fingers fucking crossed.
Right.
So beyond that, let's see what cards we get. I'm going to use my Deconstruct Divination deck. It's not a tarot deck, but I am going to use it.
Oh, I love it.
Let me do this. Sound effects.
Oh, I love hearing
sound effects
shuffle.
For drama.
I know, right? A little ASMR.
And then I'm going to draw a card. All right. So let's see what we get here. So here's something that we all need to focus on this week. And the first card I'm drawing is the number 6 card, which is about the number 6 in numerology is our intuition, our insight, our perceptibility, and our creativity. But the card itself is called the tree. And these cards don't have a book with meanings. I was literally gifted them and told just trust your intuition and what it means. So I've kind of developed it over time. This card is kind of going to the root of what we're talking about, of balance and respecting that as high as branches grow into the sky is usually how deep the roots will go into the earth. And so it's about having balance of both sides of things, of understanding the importance of both sides, but also respecting and honoring where you come from. So for this week, really focus on giving gratitude to your journey and who you've become, and meet yourself halfway no matter where you are, and respect that. Another thing, let's see, the number 5 card. So the card of focus, the intersection, what I even said about 2021, liberation, personal freedom, integrity, honor. This card is called focus. And that's basically, this is our warning, like you need to focus. Don't get distracted. Don't allow yourself to divert from a project that you've just started this week. If you have an idea, write it down, get it in order. Have an accountability partner. You know, what else can I say about focus? I mean, it just the word itself.
That resonates with me. Yeah. I love that.
And then let's do another card.
Ooh, my goodness. Thank you.
So the last card here is the number 26. Now, 26 to me, when you add those two digits together, equal 8. 8 is the mystical. It is the divine. It's trusting the process. But then we have a 2 and a 6 in there, you know, it's about working well with others. It's about understanding the differences, the character attributes of others, and then trusting our instincts, our intuition. This card is called the owl, and the owl is perception. Ooh. The owl is seeing through the darkness. The other thing too is, I feel like I need to say this for whoever's listening. When you have an idea, and you have a process, remember some of the rules that most witches practice. And one of those is silence. An owl hunts in complete silence. Its flight is without sound. So you don't even know where it's coming or going unless it chooses to allow you to do so. And the owl also, its ability to see through a dark space and the way it can maneuver how it flies is impeccable compared to most other birds. And even the fact of how it can rotate its head, you know, over 180 degrees, that's an insane amount. When you apply the owl to this week, it basically is those ideas that came from focus, the other card, don't share all of your things that you're working on with everybody right away. Keep some of it to yourself. Mm-hmm. Be silent in your approach and make sure that you're ready to premiere what it is that you're working on. And then lastly, to kind of round this all up, I'll do one more, the blade, and it's reversed. So this is card number 41, which tells me that that energy is obstructed if it's reversed, which is about balance, about our foundation and our ego. Cut the bullshit. Stop trying to come through ego. Mm-hmm. What have we been talking about on this whole episode? Stop coming from that imbalanced place of that disrupted masculine energy of control and power and thinking you have authority. Sometimes the best thing you can do to cut the bullshit is to be an active listener. Listen, listen, so listen, true. Listen. And that's it.
I love it. That's great. It resonates with me.
Right.
And you do readings for other people. Yeah, so
you do readings professionally. And actually, I got a numerological... He did my numerology chart, and he was spot on.
What the hell?
I'm
gonna get that done by you.
Yeah.
I have all my bookings available through my website. I only do Monday through Friday because weekends are for me. And I also, anytime, just hit me up through there.
Thank you.
And awesome. Before we go, could we get you to plug your podcast and your socials one more
so
time?
My podcast is called hashtag Around the Cauldron. I also sometimes will do a live stream of that on Instagram, depending on how I'm feeling. But a new episode is out maybe every 2.5 to 3 weeks. I try to do at least 2 a month. My website is ZachariahTheWitch.com, where you can find my blog posts, upcoming events that I'm doing. With other people or solo. I've also, I have a few classes I'm working on. I was going to do this paranormal workshop with Linda the Ghost Hunter, but we've had to reschedule, but that is still in the works and it's already ready to go. And then awesome. Instagram, awesome. I'm also on Clubhouse now and TikTok. So you can just find me on all those.
Perfect.
Yay.
Zachariah the Witch.
Thank you
so much for joining us. And remember, life a witch.
And so are you.
Sure am.
Have a good one.
Bye. Hi, this is Ivy from Life's a Witch. We were running out of time for a minute, so I'm just going to pop the plugs in for the rest of us right here, right now. You can find Dylan at Mystic Dylan Official on Instagram. You can find Brianne at McBizzleB on Instagram. And you can find me at NeatSword. And if you're looking to follow the shop that hosts this podcast, The Old World Emporium, you'll be looking for The Old World Emporium, spelled with an E in old, also on Instagram. The website is also oldworldemporium.com, also spelled with an E. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you had a great time. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe. Leave us a lovely comment if you would. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.